want to say good evening to everybody. We thank God for another opportunity just to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Just one more time. We want to thank Deacon McLean for opening us up in devotion this evening. We want to thank God for all of you who are here, all of those who are watching virtually. Amen. To our Pastor T. Judson Rogers for his absence. Minister Mims, who's here tonight. Our deacons, our members. We count all joy just to be able to just bring the lesson just one more time. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight, dear God. And we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor, in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for another opportunity, dear God, just to lift up, praise, magnify your holy name. And we just ask you, Lord, that you begin to use me, dear God, for your purpose. Help me, dear Heavenly Father, to say what you want me to say. Clear my mind where I can think right. And when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, the glory, and all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before we get started, we do have a list of names we want to call tonight that we ask that you add to your prayer list. Our hospital list is Sister Virginia McCormick, Sister Jeanette Starks, Sister Amelia Bruce. On our prayer list is Brother Ty Alexander, Sister Patricia Kelly, Brother Joe Shorter, Sister Carrie Powell, Sister Betty Hughes, Sister Edna Quillman, Sister Caroline Fisher, Sister Classy Evans, Sister Belinda Hall, Sister Louise Blackman, Brother Douglas Ward Jr., Reverend Edward May, Sister Donna Mitchell, Sister Louise Broom, Brother Tommy Bland, Sister Gloria Moman, and Brother Jahari Hicks. We want to ask that you add those names to your prayer list so we can continue to pray for them. Tonight, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4. We're really going to be concentrating on verse 4, but we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Before we get started, I just want to say we got a couple of announcements we just want to get out the way. I don't want to forget, we will have in the morning Waking with the Word with Pastor Rogers at 5 a.m. And he also wanted to make mention of the marriage ministry meeting this Saturday, beginning at 5 p.m., 5 to 6 p.m. And it reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Tonight we want to talk about do not provoke the children. I know that some of us are parents and some are not parents, but I'm working on a series with our children. We started on last night in honoring and respecting. We concentrate on the verses 1 through 3, and we want to look at verse 4 tonight for ourselves. What we are trying to accomplish for our children is to become better in certain areas of their lives. Our children are trending toward becoming a society of disrespectful, disobedient, and unruly children. All children aren't bad. Some children are doing it, But we're not just talking about children that's not raised up in a godly household, but we're talking about children that's raised up in a Christian household. I know when we were younger, we did a lot of things that wasn't pleasing in our parents' sight. But some things that I see today, truly, it just takes the cake. Some children have just dropped, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And God is showing me that we as parents somehow are not reaching our children in this day and age. I know not all parents are bad. We have some very good parents here in New Bethlehem, throughout this city. But some of our parents need a little nurturing and need a little help because they don't understand how important it is for God that we don't provoke our own children. Some people in here right now, they might not be parents. Some parents, some people have already raised their children. They've gotten out the way. But our children are starting to have kids. So we have grandchildren. Not only grandchildren, but we have nieces and nephews who we can help ourselves. And we need to get back to the old landmark where it takes a village to raise these children. It takes all of us in a collective effort to help raise these kids that are around. In the first three verses, God wanted us to teach our children just how important it is for obedience and respect. And he wanted them to understand that because obeying and respecting their parents turns into learning how to respect elders, respect each other, and how to respect authority. We ought to get tired of seeing our own children in the back of a patrol car all the time. We ought to get tired of seeing our children being disrespectful and acting like they don't know how to live in this world. So we started with the children on last night, and we're going to be talking about honoring, we're going to be talking about respecting this whole month, especially since they're starting back to school. Because sometimes when the kids ride during the summertime, you know, they used to just kind of like doing their own thing. And they got to get back to a situation where they understand, you know, that they still have to respect authority. They got to respect their teachers, they got to respect the principal, they got to respect, you know, our law officers, they got to respect their parents. And we have to be able to teach them that and try to get them to understand that. If we want our children to respect us, then we must live in a manner whereby they will want to obey and respect us. And so what do I mean by that? I'm glad that you asked. When we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, there's two parts of this right here. It says, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. The wrath of God is what he's referring to when he's talking about wrath. When you look at the word fathers, father means parent. But we see that this is a plural form. And so I hate to be a bearer of bad news for you ladies, because sometimes when you see fathers in the Bible, sometimes women think they get a pass. But this is plural, so it's talking to both parents, which means it's talking to mothers and fathers. And so we have to understand that when he's talking to both of us, it's both of our responsibilities in order to raise our children, and we don't provoke them to the wrath of God. When we look at provoke, it says to anger alongside. And I'm going to tell you what that means. This verse 4 is a warning to parents not to direct our children toward the wrath of God. And this word wrath only appears 41 times in the Bible. It's talking about enraged anger. It's talking about burning anger. This means that God is so mad. He is so angry. He will destroy anything. And so we got to see here what is God trying to tell us as parents? God wants us to know, he says, if we want our children to obey and respect us, we must live a life in front of them so we can be respected. Some things should be off limits to our children. What do I mean by that? We as parents cannot try to reach our children and doing the same things that they're doing. It's just saddened to me that some of the parents right now, they're out here partying with their children. How you expect your children to respect you when you out here doing the same thing that they're doing? They don't want to obey you. They don't want to respect you. Because we as parents got to understand, we can't be out here partying with our children. We out here dropping it like it's hot with our kids, and then we want to tell them about themselves. They don't want to listen to anything that we have to say. And so we have to understand that what God is trying to get us to understand as parents, that we have to learn how to live in a way to where our children will want to respect us, will want to obey us. We're looking at dressing provocatively. You can't dress like a hoochie mama and expect your daughters not to dress like one. See, we got social media now. They can see the things that we do. There's things that our parents did. They wasn't right. They didn't do a lot of things that were right, but they hid stuff from kids. Our children shouldn't see a lot of stuff they seeing right now. And we talking about folks, they got kids living at home with them. And so when you do this kind of stuff, and you dress any kind of way, your children gonna do it. They gonna take it to a whole different level. Our kids, they gonna do it better than we gonna do it. If you out here dropping like it's hot, they gonna do a whole lot more than what we're doing. And so we got to be an example to them. And so we as teachers, as preachers, as parents, we have to be an example to those that's around us. And so we got to understand, that's what the children are looking for. So God is saying, when you're talking about provoking our children, this is what actually pushes them toward the wrath of God. And the reason why is because they don't want to know about Jesus. Why would they want to know about Jesus when we're not being a light to them? And so what I want to understand is all parents ain't bad. I know we got good parents, but we got some people that need to hear this. We got folks that's online, that's watching, and they need to hear this stuff because it's going on right here in the city of Bethel. We see it on a regular basis. We've been seeing it all summer long. We out here drinking and getting drunk with our kids. How is our kids going to respect us when we out here getting drunk and getting tore up from the floor up? I told my children, listen, you can do, when you go out and do crazy stuff, one thing I can tell you, you ain't never seen your daddy come home a day drunk in his life. You ain't never seen me cut no fool. You ain't never seen me act like that. So when we have children, we got to be an example to them. You cannot reach kids. You cannot talk to kids if you're doing the same thing they're doing. And so we as parents have to understand that we cannot do the same thing that they're doing. And so we have folks that they're not doing the hardcore stuff. They're not out partying. They're not out drinking. They're not out getting high and belligerent. But we have some, they just liars. The same thing. When you teach your kids how to lie just by being around you, all you're doing is raising them a little bit of liars. That's all you're doing. And so we as folks got to understand, we have to be different. We got to set the example for our children. If you got nieces, you got nephews, you got sons, you got daughters, then we need to tell them. Certain things your kids just don't need to see. One thing I can tell you, we have to shield them from certain things. So when we're talking about respecting people, we got children who right now who act up in the school system. When you call the parents want to jump on the teachers. They want to jump on the principal. They act a fool more than the kids do. If they have bad grades, they want to jump on them. When your child see you come to the school system to act a fool, how they going to respect the teacher? You're not respecting them. You're not respecting authority. If you're going to be belligerent to the policeman in front of your kids, they're going to do the same thing. And like I said, they're going to take it to a whole different level than what we're taking it to. And so we got to understand that we have to be an example to those that's around us. And same thing with having, if you're showing disrespect to your spouse in front of them, and that's for male and female, the children seeing what you're doing. If you disrespecting the child mama or the child daddy, that's what the child gonna do. They're gonna be disrespectful as well. And so we got to understand that we cannot provoke these children to rap. So when you want them to be respectful kids, and we want our kids to be respectful, we want them to grow up and obey us. We want them to grow up and be respectful of us. We want them to respect authority. We want them to live like decent individuals. Then we have to learn to not provoke them ourselves. And so we cannot be disrespectful to our spouses. If you put your hands on the baby mama, all you doing is just raising up little white beaters when they come up. You got to be careful in the areas that we do. So we got to be an example and set the example for them. Matthew chapter 18 verse 6 says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." This is just how important things is to God when it comes down to the children. And like I said, we as parents, grandparents, uncles and aunties, we owe it to them to teach them these things, what thus said the Lord. Because we see this stuff going on a regular basis. I know our kids when they get older. I got children. I got five kids. I got four daughters. I got one granddaughter. I know how they is. They get attitude. They think they know everything. They can beat you knowing everything. You try to tell them about what the Word of God says, and they know more than you know. But they don't want to respect, or they want to do what they say. But we still owe it to them as being leaders, as being parents, as being grandparents, to tell them anyway. We have to teach them regardless if they want to hear it or not. Because these young folks don't know how to raise kids like the older folks did. When we came up, things was different for us. One thing I can tell you about us, we learned how to reverence. We learned how to respect God simply by watching what folks did. When you was in grandma and granddaddy's house, whenever a thunderstorm came through, you had to go somewhere and sit yourself down. You had to get off the phone. You had to give God ultimate respect. And when you give God that respect and that fear, then you won't be doing the things they do right now. We got young folk breaking in churches, vandalizing stuff. They'll steal from God. They'll tear stuff up. And the reason why they do it is because they got no fear of the Lord. And the reason why they got no fear is because they don't see it in us. And we're not teaching them like the old folks used to teach us. See, they might not have been able to read and write like we can. They might not have been college educated like we could. But they had the fear of the Lord. And so when they had the fear of the Lord, when you teach your kids that, they'll learn how to respect God. They'll know that when they go somewhere, they'll know to go sit down. We got more folks getting struck by lightning than anything right now. You ain't never heard of folks getting struck by lightning back in the day. Folks stay outside doing what they want to do. When God comes through, God wants you to understand, you got to respect me. You got to honor me. But this starts at home. And when it starts at home, it starts with the parents. And so we got to learn how to teach our children, just like they taught us, the reverence and respect for our Lord and Savior that when we came up. And so that's what we got to do. So God wants us to understand that we cannot provoke these children to wrath. And so I was asking God, because I wanted to know. I said, you know, Lord, I know times have changed. I know things have got worse. I know things ain't gonna get no better, but I'm just trying to find out what's going on with these Christian kids. We got kids come up through the church and they leave right out through the church and they in jail and they doing everything else up under the sun. What where are we missing the mark at? And God is showing me, we teaching them, but we're not living in front of them. And so we got to do that as being Christian people in order to teach our children. So when you leave out of church on Sunday, we still need to live a lifestyle full of godliness in front of our children. And when we do that, our children will want to do the same thing. See, I can think back on a lot of stuff my grandma and granddaddy did for us. See, I was raised by them. I wasn't raised by my mother. I wasn't raised by my father. But they was good people. There's a lot of things they didn't do around me. But I see people doing stuff right now, smoking and drinking and doing all kind of stuff around their kids. This stuff was unheard of back in the day. And so we got to learn how to reverence. We got to learn how to respect so that we can actually have our children to obey and respect us. And so when we do that, and we don't provoke our children to the wrath of God. God's wrath is going to be so angry towards some of us simply because we just won't do what he tells us to do. That's all we got to do. If we do what the word of God says, we'll be all right. When it comes down, we got to stand before the Lord. So not only did we look at in this verse right here in verse 4, and it says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." But he says, "Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." God's saying, rather than provoke our children, we are commanded to rear our children in training. So we have a responsibility. When it says to rear our children in training, it's not just the children that we have. It's the children that we have plus their children. See, we have to sow into the lives of the young folks because they're the next generation. They're the next generation of people that's coming up. And when we sow into the lives of them, that's what God wants. When you look at this right here, it says, "But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." First of all, training is talking about nurturing and education. We're not talking about high school education or college education. We're talking about different education. It says we have a responsibility to educate our children in the instructions of the Lord. And that's what we have to educate them in. We understand that when children get their life to Christ, they don't know everything about God. They have a desire to know. They are led to know, but it's left up to us to train them in the instruction of the Lord. Children can't never go anywhere without training through us if we don't train them. See, one thing about training is if we don't train them, the world gonna train them. See, that's one of the biggest things we got. And you see the new ways of teaching kids these days, right? Well, the young parents we have, we're talking about the young folks. They teaching kids with electronic devices and telephones. See, back in the day, if you wanted to talk to somebody on the phone, you had to get the phone from grandma or mama, and it had a long cord on it. You couldn't go in no other room and talk on the phone. You had to be right there. See, and you got to be observative when you're talking to your kids to instruct them. And the reason why is, see, kids can be on the phone because they slick these days, see. And when you go in a room with them, you got to pay attention to what they're talking about. See, my kids will tell you, it don't take me long to figure out what they're talking about and who they're talking to. I know they're talking to a male or female. I know if it's somebody older than them or not. And I know if they're talking about something they ain't got no business to talk about. They know me. See, my kids know I'm crazy with a capital C. And that's just the way it is. So when you talking about training and instructing your kids, you can't teach them through electronic devices. Because what kids do, they slick. See, I got a daughter. And she's 13. She's real good. See, she'll be spoken on her lesson, but she has something else reduced down here. So you got no computers. See, you got to get up on their game these days. You got to watch these kids because they'll be doing two things at one time. See, we can't do but one. They can do two at one time. Sometimes three and four. So you got to watch these children these days. And so we got a responsibility to educate them and let them know that this ain't acceptable. See, when they walk around with them cell phones, they got a small computer in their hand. See, you know, back in the day, in order to get a computer, we had to have one over there on the wall. We had to have a desk, and it had to be in a room where everybody could see it. See, kids now can have a conversation sitting right next to you on the couch, and you don't even know it. They sitting there having a whole conversation going on through text messages, and you think you got their undivided attention. Kids are slick. So we got to understand that we got a responsibility to educate them in the training and the instruction of the Lord. That's our responsibility. Because you got to watch the kids. These kids are so smart these days, they can do anything. They can do stuff a lot faster than we can. So our responsibility is to train them. See, we must train them and be an example for our children to live a life of godliness in front of them. And when we live a life of godliness in front of them, at some point in their life, kids are not perfect. They do stuff. You can teach kids good, and they still get out and do stuff. You can have the kids that you think is the perfect children. You can spend all the time you want to with them, and they're going to still get out and try stuff. That's just children for you. There ain't nothing you can do about that. But your responsibility, as in what God requires you to do, has been fulfilled. Once you train them, once you bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, that's all God requires you to do, and for you to live a life of godliness in front of them. And so it's important. This thing is so important to God that when he made this commandment about honor your mother and father, which obey them, this is the first commandment that had a promise attached to it. Because this is very, very important to him. Because we're training up the next generation. We're training up the next society of children. So it's very important to God that we train them up and educate them in the instruction of the Lord. We should ask our children, we should never ask our children to do anything that we're not doing. Don't ask your children to do something that you're not doing as parents, as grandparents. If you asking them to do stuff, be doing the same thing. In other words, don't ask them to do something that's holy and you live in unholy. God see all this stuff. See, what you do in the privacy of your own home, what you do behind the pastor's back, God can see everything. He don't miss nothing. And so we got to be accountable to God. And so we be accountable to him, we got to understand that that's just how God operates. So not only must we train them, we got this word admonition, okay? So this is talking about being gentle or friendly proof. Now, we're not talking about being the kid's friend, because you cannot parent and you cannot be their friend at the same time. See, because you have a lot of folks that try to do that. And that's what's going on with the young folks these days. See, they want to have a different type of relationship with their children than we had. And what they want to do is they want to give them everything, they want to befriend them, and they want them to be their friend. We cannot be our children's friend because somebody got to tell them right from wrong. Because the world going to tell them different. See, if we don't tell them what thus said the Lord, and we got to do it in a loving way, then the world going to tell them different. So we got to understand that when we talk about admonition, this is talking about gentle. It's talking about in a friendly reproof. In other words, you're not beating your kids across the head all the time with the Bible. You're not downing them all the time. You're not always talking about them, and you're not always being negative toward them all the time. So it has the idea of discipline, which to put in the mind of a child. In other words, you're always reminding the child when they're not doing something they need to be doing. Or you always remind them when they have done something wrong and they know that they didn't do the right thing. See, it doesn't hurt to check up on your children. It don't hurt to do that. It doesn't hurt to always, well, we won't say not trust them. It doesn't hurt to always make sure that the think that you're always watching up or walking up behind, watching them all the time. See, grandma and granddaddy, auntie and uncle sometimes got more time on their hands than the actual parents do. So what I mean by that is, okay, if you talking to your sons or your daughters and they say that, well, I got somebody, what's time going out to the school, to the high school dance tonight, it don't hurt for somebody to drive by sometime to make sure they're there. You got to check up on these kids these days. These kids slick. They ain't like they was back in the day. They ain't like us. See, now I mean, they got cars, they got fast cars, they got places to hide, they got friends that are hiding. Oh, they do. They got friends that are hiding. I had some folks that I went to high school with, and these girls used to switch cars.
I'm saying this is something that was going on back in 1980. So you know what's going on right now. They used to switch cars and everything, change clothes. Man, you got to watch these kids these days. That's why I say it takes a village to raise these kids. So it takes everybody to check up on these kids. And so what you have to do is when you check up on kids like this, let me tell you what happens. They start second guessing themselves. They start saying, well, I don't know when daddy going to show up because he'll throw up on you in a minute. I don't know when grandma's going to come because she'll throw up on you in a minute. If you always doing the same thing you doing, if you ain't never checking up on your grandkids, never checking up on your children to make sure they keeping them honest, that they say they doing what they say they going to do, then they have no reason to not go and do anything they want to do. That's our responsibility as parents. That's our responsibility as teachers, leaders, is to check up on these folks. And that's why he says that you got to have a gentle, you have to have a friendly reproof for these children right now. See, we got to understand, we got to teach these children their faults, their responsibilities, and their duties. And the reason why is because we got to teach them self-control. See, kids don't know no self-control. The reason why they don't know self-control, did you know self-control when you were that age? We didn't know self-control when that was that age. And so we had to teach them self-control. See, right now, this is the best time when you're talking about training the children up. See, parents, by being hard on kids, some parents are hard on kids, they don't even want to have a girlfriend or boyfriend. We're not talking about children that's not of dating age. We tell my kids that's dating age, okay? Teenagers that's dating age. The best time to teach kids how to date is when they living with you. You don't want them to learn how to date when they leave your household and go to college. Because that turns into a mega mess when they do that. The best time to teach them how to date is when they living with mama and dad. They might not like your rules. They might not like your regulations, but that's the time they need to learn then. See, one thing I can tell you about my daughters, they know ain't nobody coming to my house with their pants sagging. Ain't nobody come here looking crazy, and you have not been a honk no horn at my house. See, you got to teach them how to do that, because you got girls these days that run behind boys. So you got to teach them how to have boys chasing them. So you didn't got to be the opposite approach right now. And the reason why I got to be like that, because we're not training them up. That's why I'm doing it. We're not training these kids up. They got to know what to do. They got to know what to do in the Lord. They got to know how to do it the Lord's way. Not their way, but the Lord's way. And so they can't learn from their friends how to date. They can't learn from their next door neighbors how to date. And they can't learn when they get to college how to date. They need to learn when they're home. So what God is saying, admonition, he's saying that don't be so hard on your kids that when they get the opportunity to leave, when they get the opportunity to go to college, you got to burn the woods and sift the ashes to find them. They don't want to come back home. They out of this. So you don't want to be the kid's friend. You don't want to be that. You want to be a person who is doing a gentle, friendly reproof. And you want to reprove them to let them know, no, you doing this the wrong way. You're going in the wrong direction. We need to go this way. Because when they do that, they'll understand that this is not appropriate to mama and dad. And so, listen, like I said, when children leave the household, when you have done your part, you cannot be hard on yourself because the kids is not doing exactly what you want them to do. You got to make sure that when you have their listening ear, when you have their opportunity, that's the time to train. And when you train them, when you train them up in the way they should go, that's why God said that when they're old, they won't depart from it. One day, they're going to come back to them ways. And the reason why they're going to come back, because they're going to remember what you taught them. And the Holy Spirit is going to bring it to their remembrance all the time. And so we got to understand, that's what we have to do. So this is a collective effort. Like I said, we working with the children, and we need the parents to work with the children. And we need the parents to live like something in front of kids so they want to obey. They want to respect. They want to do that. See, one thing I can tell you about, how would you feel, honestly? I mean, just how would you feel if you went to a party and your pastor was out there dropping like he was hot? I mean, how would you feel? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's the reason why God holds us to a whole different higher standard. It's because we have to live right in the sight of other folks. We got to do what God say do. Because you would have no respect for your pastor. You would have no respect for the man of God. You would have no respect for the leader if they out there doing the same thing that they see everybody else doing. So we have to do that. And this is the same way it is. God uses the parent-child relationship to show the relationship that he had with us, with between us and him, his children. That's what he wants to understand. And so we have to understand that we as parents, we as teachers, we as leaders, have to lead these children according to his will. So, When we seek to rear children according to God's way, we are working together with the Lord to accomplish one common goal. See, God wants them saved. He wants them in heaven with him. He loved the children. He wants them in heaven with him. But we are working with him to accomplish one common goal. We got to understand that we cannot be unreasonably severe on children, and we have to understand that we have to raise them up according to the will of God. And like I said, parents make mistakes. We don't do everything right. I know some of us, we could probably think back on some times that we could have done some things different. But you can't go back in time. But guess what you got? You got another chance with your grandkids. You got another chance with your nieces and nephews. You got another chance with your next door neighbor. See, there's nothing wrong with talking to people. They might not be receptive of it, but you can talk to them and let them know that some things that they're doing might not be acceptable. And they need to maybe make some changes in their life in order to bring their children in of subjection to God. And the only way they can do that is they got to know what the word says. See, everybody who needs to hear the word don't come to church. Everybody who needs to hear it, they're not here. That's why God got us. So that we can be a light to them. That's the reason why I love working with the youth department. I love working with the kids. Because I love to see them grow up. I love to see them doing well in life. I love to see them doing that kind of stuff. I love that. Because when you sow into a child's life and they turn out to be a good child, that's a blessing behind that. You when you see that. So God, you got to understand that we as teachers, leaders, and parents, we have an awesome responsibility. And that's why God put that in verse 4, because he wanted us to understand that he does not want us to provoke these children. And we can do it. We can provoke them to wrath. And our job is we have to live in a way so that they won't be provoked to wrath and provoked to anger. So we don't need to be hard on our children. We just need to love them. We need to be firm. We need to teach them what the Lord says. And we got to give them over to God and just continue to pray for them, because they are living in a wicked and perverse generation. But what I want is for us to do is try to monitor our kids more on electronic devices. Try to monitor them more with, you know, cell phone operation and stuff. And another thing I want to do is we got to stop fighting one another in the household in order to raise up children together. We're not going to be on the same page all the time, mothers and fathers. I'm talking about spouses. We're not going to be on the same page all the time, but we got to work together. It's a collective effort in order to do it. See, children are smart. They know when mom and daddy is not coinciding together, or when this is okay for daddy and this is okay for mom. See, my kids, they don't bother me. And the reason why they don't bother me is because they don't call me about anything unless they know that they gonna get the truth. See, I'm not going to play with them. I'm going to tell them exactly what thus said the Lord. I'm going to tell them exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to tell them how it's going to turn out. I'm going to probably give them a life story. They might not want to listen to it, but they're going to get it. And the reason why they're going to get it is because they need to know. And a lot of times, they come back and they be like, "Dad, you was right." And so we cannot be their friend. And so when you try to play them pawns, going back and forth to mama and daddy and daddy and mama, we got to understand that we got to be on the same page. We got to help monitor these children and train them up together. And that's what God requires. That's all God wants. God does not want us to do anything besides raise them up the way they should be raised up. And so we do what God say do. If we follow his will, we follow his ways, then we won't provoke these children to wrath. And we'll start seeing a difference in our households. We'll start seeing a difference in our school system. We'll start seeing a difference in our communities. And that's the reason why we got all these people working with these kids in the communities, because some of them don't get this stuff at home. These kids go through a lot of stuff. And they need us. They need us. They need their parents, they need grandma and granddaddy, they need uncle and auntie. And we don't even know how much they need you. And so what God wants us to do is start being diligent and doing his will and working with the next generation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We have somebody tonight? We pray that we help somebody tonight, because we need to get back to the old landmark of some of the things that we used to do. There's nothing wrong with that. I know people try to say grandma and granddaddy, they're dead, they're gone, or the stuff they did was antiquated, they're born. Because kids, they use that these days, that we're born. And they'll say in a minute they're born. They tell me all the time I'm born. The reason why they tell me that is because I don't just let them do anything about the son. And I'm not going to let them do anything about the son. I just have to say, "Bored old dad." That's just the way it is. So, what we got to do is, we just got to do what God say and what God require. And we do that, things will change in our communities. I mean, aren't you tired of seeing the same things with our children? We got too many youth that's dying on the streets because they got an attitude. We got too many youth that's in the back of a patrol car getting beaten because they don't know how to respect authority. I'm not saying that all kids are bad. I'm not saying that all cops are good. I'm just saying that we got to learn how to respect one another. And the teachers are tired. The teachers are tired of trying to fight the kids half a day and try to teach the other children. You got some kids that want to learn and the other one want to come in to play and fight all day. We got a responsibility as parents. One thing I can tell you about my kids, any one I'm going to tell you, when school starts, I always tell them, I tell them every year, don't matter, do not let me have to get off my job and come to the school. If I come to the school, you better pray to God you in the right. And I meant what I said. We need to do that with our children. We need to stop fighting the principal and the teachers and start assisting them, because some of the kids are unruly in these classes and these teachers cannot teach them. And they can't do it. And we should have to stop getting mad with them because we're not doing our job. So we don't have anything else that claim my attention tonight. I guess we'll just end in prayer. Like I said, we will have Waking with the Word in the morning at 5 a.m. And we're going to have the marriage ministry meeting on Saturday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight, dear God. And we want to give you all the praise and the glory, all the honor, in the mighty name of Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach your lesson to Heavenly Father. We know that your word go forth to Heavenly Father and it won't fall on deaf ears. And we ask the Heavenly Father you continue to work with this church family. We ask that God you continue to touch our pastor, the Heavenly Father. Continue to lead and guide him and his family. Protect them to Heavenly Father. Wherever they are, we thank you for them to Heavenly Father. And we ask that God you continue to anoint him to God and help him to continue to lead this congregation to Heavenly Father. We thank you to Heavenly Father for those that are here tonight, and we thank you for those who are watching virtually, dear God. And we pray, dear God, that your will be done in our lives. We ask you, Lord, that you just continue to strengthen us and encourage us, dear Heavenly Father, and help us to be the parents, the teachers, the preachers, the leaders that you want us to be. Continue to work with us, dear God, through your Holy Spirit, and help us, dear Heavenly Father, be able to raise these communities, dear Heavenly Father, so that we can do it collectively, a group effort, dear God, for your glory, dear Heavenly Father. We pray, dear God, that you receive all the praise, you receive all the glory, you receive all the honor, in the mighty name of Jesus, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the opportunity for your word, dear God, and we're asking, Lord, that you continue to work with each and every one of us. Help us to do your will, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you, Lord, that you work with those that's on our prayer list, dear Heavenly Father. You know why they're on it, dear Heavenly Father. You know what they stand in the need of, dear God. And we ask you, God, that you grant according to your will. We pray, dear God, that you touch those, dear God, that's on the hospital list, dear Heavenly Father. Some have been on it for a very long time, dear God. And we ask the Lord that you heal them, dear Heavenly Father, according to your will, dear God. You know, dear Heavenly Father, what they need, dear Lord. And we ask the Lord that you touch the doctors, Lord. We ask you to touch the nurses, dear Heavenly Father. Touch those, dear Heavenly Father, who are handling them, dear God, who are diagnosing them, dear Heavenly Father. Able them, dear Heavenly Father, to do your will. And we ask, dear God, that you continue to heal them, dear God, according to your will. You said that by your stripes that we are healed, and we thank you for it right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, dear God, that your will be done in our lives, dear God. And we pray, dear God, that you continue to touch this church family, dear God. We ask that you work with our children, work with our youth department, dear Heavenly Father. Help us, dear God, to raise them up, dear God, to be children that's on fire for you. And we thank you for it, dear God. We thank you for the opportunity, dear God, just to praise, worship, and magnify your holy name. And we ask, dear God, that when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, Lord. You have all the glory. You have all the honor. It is in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus we do pray and we do thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.